Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle here in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area. And I have some good news. We now have over 250,000 listeners in over 80 countries. Our worldwide coverage is now larger than Coast to Coast Radio. And I just want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world. I know that if we all work together, we can and will make this planet a much better and happier place. During the first hour today, from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Seattle time, I'll be interviewing my good friend Simon Parks live from England. Please stay tuned for his amazing interview, which will start in just a few minutes. During the first part of the second hour, from 3 to 3:15, I'll be bringing on an interesting gentleman named Jared Rand, who has a daily meditation for world peace. He says that over 400,000 people participate in his world peace meditations, and I'm so happy he'll be on my show today. Then from 3:15 to 4, I'll be interviewing Billy Woodard and his father Zora from the Hollow Earth. Their interview, I guarantee, should be really out of this world. I hope you can listen. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone so much for support for this program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate your help and support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. With that, I'd like to thank my friends Corey and Saul in Kirkland for their generous support, as well as my friends Bozina and her husband in beautiful Vancouver, Canada, and of course my wonderful friends Mary Elias in Costa Rica and Bradley and Jenna in London, England, and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness to make this world a much better and happier place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, and we're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers. Any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 80 countries. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been signing my website and providing wonderful support. My friends in the Galactic Alliance, who I know are supporting the show and listening today, my angelic and earthly family, and of course KKNW and Eric, who without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who passed on, or to contact your angelic guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. My next Galactic Wisdom Conference, it'll be the 5th annual conference, will be held in Olympia, Washington, just south of Seattle, from April 12th to the 16th, 2019. We have some amazing people presenting, including Erin Elizabeth of Health Nut News from Florida will be coming, as well as I know Simon will be giving a presentation as well. If you register before the end of the year, the cost for the 3-day for the conference will only be $55. If you'd like to register, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Before we go to Simon, I have some wonderful psychic and spiritual fairs that are coming up I wanted to tell everyone about. Tomorrow, on October 6th and on Sunday, October 7th, I'll be doing psychic readings at the wonderful Crystal Spirit Bookstore and Spiritual Center in Tacoma. They are located at the corner of 38th and Cedar Street in Tacoma, very close to the Tacoma Mall. Also, on October 14th at the Crystal Spirit, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., I'll be giving a presentation on Tom Palladino's wonderful new Scalar Energy Healing Program. I hope you can come. Then on November 10th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., I'll hold another very special psychic and haro fair with Michiko Hayashi, who will be flying in from Tokyo, Japan, with the Moto Peace Project. She'll be giving haro treatments, and the fair will be held at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia. All the events are free, and if you'd like more information, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. In addition, for those of you in England, in May of 2019, I'll be giving a presentation at Watkins Books in London, as well as Banyan Books in beautiful Vancouver, Canada, in either June or July 2019. I'll let you know the exact dates when as time progresses. And with that, I'd like to bring my good friend Simon Parks, live from England, on the show. Simon, how are you today?
Hello, Ted. I'm very well, thank you.
Oh, it's good to talk to you. I got a lot of emails, people asking me, Simon, how are you feeling? Are you feeling better now?
It's really kind of, I know you asked me before we started, and mm-hmm. to the audience, I am feeling better. I probably get one of these attacks maybe once or twice a year.
Okay. It's
generally when I've been doing a lot of conferences, or I don't know, if something's a bit tricky happening on the planet and I'm starting to speak out about it. And it usually knocks me down for about 2 weeks. So it's been happening now. It started in about 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one of the worst attacks was when I was meeting a guy from SETI.
Oh, yeah.
And we were having a discussion around his work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really sort of when it started. So, I think what the bad guys can do is they can slow me down. They can't stop me, but they can slow me down. So thank you to everybody who's sent me some sort of love and light and good wishes. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to ask all my listeners around the world to please send lots of love and light to Simon now. He's a wonderful fellow. He's doing great work to raise the consciousness to make this planet a much better and happier place. And if everyone listening could just take a minute or a few seconds to send lots of love and light, a cone of white light protection around Simon, I know it'll really help. Wonderful. Thank you so much, everyone, for doing that. Simon, I have a lot of questions for you, but first off, one thing that many people have asked about are the critical time that we're in right now, from October, November, and December of this year, that'll determine a future course of events for the next several years. Would you? I got several questions are kind of looped into one main question. Could you explain maybe how important this is for the world?
Well, I've always seen, for the last maybe 5 years,
mm-hmm.
I've always thought that 2017 and 2018 were crucial periods.
Mm-hmm.
I did not foresee President Trump, but then I didn't foresee Hillary Clinton throwing a hat into the ring. But I always foresaw 17 and 18 as important. And as the presidency of Trump developed and we saw what was going on, it became clear to me that the element of time where changes could be brought about was becoming tighter and tighter. And one of the major drivers of time here is that the bill that went through the lawmaking apparatus in America end of last year, beginning of this year, in fact it was December, allowed military courts and civilian courts to run in tandem, but that was only live for 1 year. So that runs out in about December of this year, which means that it would not be possible to go down the military court, military tribunal route in January, because traditionally the United States of America at midterm elections always vote against the incumbent president, mm. or nearly do so.
Mm-hmm.
So if, as is expected, the Democrats win the House but just fail to take the Senate, it would mean that it would probably be impossible to put the tribunals through from next year.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant that October, November, and December of this year
mm-hmm.
Were crucial, because it is the last remaining 3 months that anything of a large nature can occur.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure we'll get on to it, but if we look at the game, I'm going to use that word, the game that's played out around the Supreme Judge,
right,
begin to understand how important these 3 months are to both sides. The amount of, I'm going to use an English word, but it's actually an Irish word, the shenanigans,
mm-hmm.
the games that are being played are only being played at this high level of stake because the next 3 months are important. So, yes, if I get, or as soon as I get any information as to anything untoward or worrying that might be occurring in the next 3 months, then obviously I'll let people know.
The accuser, okay, thanks so much, Simon. The accuser of Judge Kavanaugh is a lady. I don't know too much about her, but I have had several psychic friends who are familiar with the mind control techniques of MKUltra, and they say they said from her testimony, it seems like she's an MKUltra victim who was with vague memories that can't come out with specific details about what happened to her. I'm not condoning what may or may not have happened, of course, but because she's so vague on the details, they thought she might have been implanted with false memories to come forward now.
I deliberately didn't listen to her statement, and that might shock people. I'm very visual. I pick up the energies from my visual work, and I had a good look at her, and I came to the conclusion that at some point in her life, she had been through trauma.
Okay.
Now, when an individual, a victim is the correct word here, when a victim goes through an MKUltra type program, they certainly go through trauma. But you could be in an auto crash. You could fall off a ladder. You could get trauma. So
sure.
I don't know what's caused that trauma. But when I look at her, I'm absolutely convinced that there's been trauma. Mm-hmm. I know both sides are playing hardball. Both sides are absolutely determined either to get Kavanaugh into position or to stop him. And the only reason that both sides are so determined is because the next 3 months are not just crucial for humanity, but are very crucial for the elite. Mm-hmm. Because if it does not go the way the elite want, they're in a real difficult situation. And that's why they're throwing everything into this. So I would agree that I think she's a doctor or a professor, I believe, this woman.
Right.
I believe that she has suffered trauma at some point in her life.
Right. Well, I hope for the sake of the country that this process is wrapped up quickly before the end of the year. And I agree with you. I think this is a very pivotal time. There was a post on Facebook, and I wanted to run it by you, too, before we get to our questions, Simon, that the skies over the UK were just inundated with many, many chemtrails about 3 weeks ago. And even people who were kind of asleep and didn't realize that there were chemtrails looked up, and you couldn't help but see them everywhere. Did you notice that as well, Simon, in your part of the country, or was it over London or other parts of the UK?
Nearly every part of Great Britain was subject to the most horrendous chemtrailing, and I'm not clear as to why, what was important, whether it was something to do with planetary alignments, whether it was something to do with a weather pattern that was clearing previous sprays over Britain, but for a reason that I don't understand, it has never been that bad. And I've been aware of it, for 10-15 years, and the people I've spoken to have never seen it like this. I mean, I've got some pictures. I haven't had a chance to put them up on. It wasn't just in Britain, but parts of America were also being hit at the same time. And somebody sent me some pictures, which I've not yet put up. It was so bad in this particular location, so bad that there no longer could you see chemtrails. They'd actually formed clouds. They'd actually formed clouds.
Wow.
So the question for me is why?
Right.
What was critical at that point? And I haven't got an answer to that yet. Mm-hmm. But yes, it's been horrendous, terrible.
Yeah. We've had a lot of chemtrails, of course, around here, and especially in eastern Washington, they have been spraying it like every other day back there. So bad to the point where there were a lot of newborn babies dying as a result. They were born stillbirth because of the barium and strontium in the mother's system from all the chemtrail spraying. I know when I was living in eastern Washington years ago, I ended up getting a chemtrail like pneumonia or bronchitis that went on for 8 to 10 months, and it only got better when I left the area. So it's quite serious. I just on that note, I have to ask you, there's another story too out of the UK people have asked me about. It's in a place called Penarth, Penarth, forgive me if I'm not pronouncing it correctly. But on September 11th, last month, 2,000 tons of nuclear mud was dumped off Penrith. It's outside Bristol. I saw it on the map. And apparently they're moving radioactive mud or waste from one part of Wales to this part in the near Bristol. You know, have you heard about that happening, Simon? Just curious if you heard what's the background of that.
Yes. That part of the world, the southwest of England, has a very interesting history. Mm-hmm. Right back over 100, 200 years, because of the type of rock under some parts of that location, it's relatively easy to bore tunnels and create tunnels. Mm-hmm. And starting from the major wars that we had, these bases or tunnels were built. About 20-odd years ago, 25 years ago, the most incredible excavation was being undertaken there, and many, many, many tons of concrete were being poured down. Mm-hmm. Now, as an aside to this, I'd gone down to a place which is called Aust or Aust, mm-hmm. right on the coast by the bridge, and it's a good place for fossils. And I actually went down there for fossils. Uh-huh. And the place is crawling, all of that southwest England location is crawling with private security firms. In Great Britain, it's not like America where you had that group called Blackwater. I don't know what their name is now.
Right.
But in America, there are large numbers of private security firms. In Britain, it's not like that. But in this location, mm-hmm. There was a great number. And I remember walking back, and there were two guys were just walking along the road with walkie-talkies. Mm-hmm. And as I walked past, one guy turned to the other and said, "That's Simon Parks."
Oh, really?
And they both, yes, two private security guards.
Oh my
and they
God.
Both stopped and stared at me. And I got into the car, and then a van pulled up, and they jumped into the van, and off they went. Uh-huh. But that location, that all that area is very high number of private security firms. Now, what I understand is that there's a miles and miles and miles of tunnels here, and what I'm hearing is that a section of that, which is no longer needed, is going to be used to take this waste. Hmm. Because it's not near water-bearing rocks, and there's very, don't know how many feet thick of concrete. Mm-hmm. But basically, the section that they're not using for whatever, they're going to use to dump and hold this stuff. So that's exactly what's going on.
Oh, amazing. I have to tell you briefly, Simon, of an experiment that Dr. Masaru Emoto did back in 2010. He took a bottle of radioactive water from a nuclear reactor in Japan. I believe it was in 1999. And he wrote the words love and gratitude on the bottle itself. And he also put a crystal formed that was formed by the words love and gratitude that he did research in his laboratory. And so as an experiment, Simon, he photographed the radioactive water using his electron microscope before doing prayers and after he did these prayers. And before the prayers, it looked like a bunch of worms. The water looked disjointed and all the molecules were all broken apart. And so he wrote love and gratitude on this bottle of radioactive water. And 48 hours, guess what happened?
Simon? I'm just trying to think.
Okay.
48 hours is not a very long time.
No.
Maybe he began to see some improvement.
Well, what happened is that because water has memory, and water always gravitates to the higher vibration, all the radiation disappeared, completely disappeared within 48 hours. It was gone. So if you extend that one step further, if the people who are dumping all this radioactive mud off of Bristol, if they just wrote the words love and gratitude on their ship or on the containers holding this mud, the radiation should theoretically dissolve, gone in 48 hours. And in theory.
I think it would only work mm-hmm. if the intention was behind the words.
Sure.
Now, the other thing, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Ted. I didn't mean to be rude and interrupt you. But what I was going to say was that there aren't many races that are capable of doing this. Mm-hmm. To my knowledge, most of the fourth dimensional races have to use a technology to clean up poison spills. They can't do it in connecting to source or God.
Sure.
They have to do it via technology. But mm-hmm. because humans are divinely created mm-hmm. and have this potential connection to the 12th and higher dimensions, mm-hmm. it is possible, as you quite rightly said, to alter physical state by the will of your intention and the peace and love. But most alien beings have to use their advanced technology to clear stuff up.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons that off-planet entities are so interested in humans, mm-hmm. because of the connection to source, which humans have, but many of these aliens just don't have.
Interesting. Well, I'm bringing on a fellow during the first of my next hour, actually, who has a daily meditation of nearly 500,000 people worldwide for world peace. And he's a wonderful fellow. If you'd like to stay on and listen to him, you're welcome, Simon. His name is Jared Rand, and he's a wonderful fellow. Anyway, I want to do a meditation with him to clean up the radiation around the UK and in that area. But we'll do that at the beginning of the next hour. But I know it worked. And with Dr. Moto, he had the scientific results to prove it as well. I've gotten a lot of questions in for you, Simon.
And I promise not to spend too long answering them. Then we can get through them quickly.
Okay, alrighty. Really love your show. Hello, Ted. I have two questions for Simon. Did you say that Judge Kavanaugh is a fifth dimensional being, that he's a, quote, good guy? But is he part of the deep state? I hope he's a benevolent nature. That's the first one.
Okay, so let me quickly answer that one, Ted. Okay. Others I'll forget.
Right.
So first of all, the soul in his body is fifth dimensional. Yeah. I would actually put him at the lower fifth, and I put him as having a soul from Andromeda.
Okay.
Is he part of the deep state? He is, in the sense that he is involved in politics, but he's not a Satanist. Mm-hmm. He's not a paedophilia. He's not child trafficker. So he'd get my vote simply because he's stayed away from all that other horrible stuff.
Sure. Okay, that's good. Thank you for explaining that. She writes, this is Bonnie from Philadelphia. She writes, I'm hearing more about Nibiru, the dwarf star. Has it entered our solar system? And when it decides to leave our solar system, she writes, are great storms on the horizon for us? Do you have a timeline for this? And then she gets in, she says, do we need to stock up on food and supplies for 3 or 4 months? Anyway, that's what she asked, so.
Okay, I believe it has entered the solar system, but it's a controlled object, so it can go faster, slower, or it can stop.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is that it's holding its position. The reason it's holding its position is because the timeline at which it is supposed to arrive on is not yet. Mm. It's not just going to turn up by chance. Its arrival will coincide with a number of other happenings on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we should understand that any arrival of Nibiru or Planet X is just to be seen as another element of things unfolding for the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I do not foresee any serious cataclysm or any serious disaster to the Earth because of its arrival. I think it's always advisable to have a few weeks worth of food and water. I think that's just absolutely makes sense, mm-hmm. not just because of Nibiru, but you know, you could have a power station go down, you could have anything happening. So I always say to people, regardless of whatever the situation, it pays to have a few weeks worth of food. We can't all be preppers. Mm-hmm. We can't all be stocked up for 6 months or a year or 2 years. But,
sure.
But it's worthwhile just keeping a few weeks' supply just in case. Yeah,
sure.
I agree.
Absolutely, absolutely. Here's a related question, a short question, a statement, and then a question following it. This is Fred in Arizona. He writes, he says that he's heard that there are 55,000 sealed indictments currently in the judicial system in the United States. Many of these indictments are for pedophilia, a lot of crimes against humanity perpetrated by the elite of the United, the dark elite of the United States. And he writes that, is this why Judge Kavanaugh's nomination is so important? Because we need a Mr. Trump needs a Supreme Court that'll validate these indictments. Is that the reason for the battle for his seat at the moment?
And it's the reason why the very nasty people have done everything they can to prevent him. Mm. Never before in the history, as far as I know, I'm not an American, but I am a student of American history.
Right.
And I can't ever find any case where there's been such a take against a judge. Mm. I can't find anywhere in the United States history where it's been like this. Mm-hmm. And there has to be a reason. And the reason is that I originally was told of 20,000 indictments. Mm-hmm. And then I was told it had up to 40,000. And I did struggle to accept that because of the personnel hours required to draft and legally watertight 40,000. I know you got the figure 55, but this is 55. A few months back. This is a few months back when it was. Right. I was told at 40,000. So mm-hmm. I had a meeting with an employee of the American embassy based in Britain, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that person seemed to confirm that at that stage there were 40 odd thousand indictments, which I was surprised at, because you need a small army to create that. Now we're told it's 50 odd thousand. Now I've got no secondary evidence on that. What I have accepted, it was at 40,000. So if it was at 40,000 6 months ago, which it was, mm-hmm. it could well be at 55,000. I just want to add a point to this, that it is not just about Americans living in America. These documents and the law behind them has been very cleverly or very carefully written and does apply to American citizens living in other countries. That's a very important point to make, because there are a number of very bad people who have fled the United States. Oh, sure, they didn't disappear and run off. They moved house, or they decided to retire. So they've gone to Switzerland or New Zealand, or a number of other countries. Well, these indictments will take effect because these people are American nationals and they cannot be protected by the government of the country they're currently living in. Now, when people understand that, then you would begin to understand why there is a huge determination to prevent Judge Kavanaugh taking his position, because it's got nothing to do with Republicans and Democrats. It's got nothing to do with liberals and conservatives. It's got everything to do with President Trump and this other group. So Kavanaugh would give President Trump a majority of one, literally a majority of one. So can you imagine indictments being opened and there are some household names? No way was Trump going to do this unless he had the majority of one. That's why the other side are, I'm going to use the word hell-bent, are hell-bent on preventing Kavanaugh taking this position, because the game's up.
Sure.
So it is, as you said, Ted, an incredibly exciting time. It's also a very dangerous time. Thank you.
Well, I hope people listening today, especially those Americans listening here in the United States, which is still a great country, to see through the mass media and determine the truth for yourself and about what's going on. Here's a woman, Dr. Ford, who suddenly, after 36, 40 years, suddenly comes forward with allegations of assault from this gentleman. And she can't remember most of the details. Her memory's hazy. Actually, there was a clip played on our radio station here just before we came on from her about how horrible Judge Kavanaugh was. So I hope people will look through the read through the lines as to what's really going on. Any rate, and we have some other questions, Simon. This is Jurlik from Germany, and he says hello to you. He said that he had a session with you back in May of this year, the man with the gong.
So okay,
you probably remember the man with the gong. And he'd like to ask, how do we realize the shift to the higher dimension? What are the qualities in the physical senses, taste, feeling, and will the world look the same around us? With best regards, Jurlik from Germany.
Well, we will still have a physical body. We'll still have a heart and a mm-hmm. liver and kidneys, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And we'll still need to eat food. And this is something that people perhaps forget. They believe that when they move up to a higher realm, they can live off light. No, you can't. Not in the fifth dimension. We need to consume food. Mm-hmm. So that aspect is not going to change. But the real question is, how do I recognize it? Mm-hmm. And the point is that you will recognize it because the world will change around you mm-hmm. and the people around you will change. What I'm expecting to see is a reduction of fourth dimensional energy mm-hmm. For those people who are advancing, evolving. The fourth dimensional control will drop away mm-hmm. and those individuals will find themselves with more and more freedom, mm-hmm. more freedom in action and less controls around them. Mm-hmm. And it will be very obvious to you, mm-hmm. very obvious. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you will see a difference, but please don't think that you can just give up your normal routines in terms of drinking water and eating food. That has to stay. In fact, that stays up to the sixth dimension, that it only begins to drop off after the sixth dimension. When you go into the seventh dimension, then the type of physical body that we understand begins to change.
Oh, fascinating. Thank you so much for I've been asked that question before, Simon, so thank you so much for explaining that. I don't know if this has happened to you, but people who are negative have dropped out of my life during the past year or two. And sometimes I think people are evolving spiritually, and they're leaving people that they've known. That we're all developing at different rates here on the planet. Have you had the same thing happen to you as well, Simon? People.
I'll tell you what I have noticed, and I am noticing, is that, and I've said it now for about 2.5 years, mm-hmm. It is very arbitrary, but the good people are getting better mm-hmm. and the bad people are getting worse. Mm-hmm. And what we had was a gray area in the middle that is going. And those people who are choosing to stay in the negative, they're choosing to remain. They're becoming more obvious, they're becoming more outspoken, they're becoming more in your face, and they're becoming more unpleasant. Mm. There is a real divide, and people who are on a spiritual path, excuse me, we're shocked by the downright nastiness of people, which we haven't seen before. This is quite a new thing. Excuse me. Basically, mm-hmm. as we evolve, as the planet's vibration rises, there are a substantial group of people who choose not to rise with it. Mm-hmm. So they get left behind. So those people who are evolving, if metaphorically speaking, you look over your shoulder, right. These people are miles behind you, and they're right down the corridor, and you don't recognize them anymore because they're just their intent, their energy is just not what you want. Yeah. So bad people are becoming more obvious. They're more out in the open and they are basically being corralled. Now, those people who are spiritual and evolving, you're moving upwards. You're not being corralled. Mm-hmm. You've got freedom. So it's still difficult because we're rubbing shoulders with these people. But how can I put this? You might spend 5 years going to work, getting in the elevator, and there's a person next to you that you don't really like, and he's not that good. Mm-hmm. But now that person is so horrible mm-hmm. that everyone's ostracizing him. Mm. Everyone's keeping away from him. He's got his own workstation. No one goes near him. Nobody offers to make him a cup of coffee. Nobody offers to get him a donut when they go. That's mm-hmm. what's happening. And this negative group is becoming more obvious. Mm. But as a result of that, they're becoming more dangerous. So that's my answer.
Interesting. Thank you for sharing that, Simon. As always, it's always interesting to hear your viewpoint on that. That's happened actually in several instances to me this year. I've also had a group of questions that have come in about how do you get rid of a curse, a family curse from a previous life or that was done by what I guess you would call them a witch doctor or an evil spirit. So
okay,
yeah,
right. Okay. That's a heck of a difficult question to answer, not okay. because I can't, but because I've got to explain a bit.
Okay.
In the fourth dimension, there are a whole range of energies. They're not the same energy with different names. For instance, voodooism is not the same as black magic.
Okay.
I remember that black magic isn't evil. Black magic just means occult, mm-hmm. which means hidden magic. A good person makes good magic. Mm-hmm. A bad person makes bad magic. Mm-hmm. Now, curses can be from a whole range of objects. The guy who broke into Tutankhamun's tomb,
right.
There's a curse on the stones, and he got a curse from that.
Right.
You could have a witch doctor stick pins in a doll, you get a curse from that.
Sure.
You could get a whole range of stuff. So to answer the question, it depends not who has put the curse on you,
right.
but what their energy background is, what their discipline is, where they're coming from. So to counter that negative curse, one has to understand what the curse is and what its history is.
Hmm.
There are a whole range of tools that we can use to counter it. I would say of the clients I speak to, a good 3/4 of them mm-hmm. are dealing with not a curse, but something from the interdimensional space between the third and the fourth dimension. And some of them are curses because somebody has been paid mm-hmm. to send one of these rather nasty little spirits to make a life difficult. So I can't give you a specific answer because every different type of curse requires a different antidote, but they are possible. Remember, what one man or one thing can do, another man or woman can undo.
I see. Okay, thank you so much for sharing that, Simon.
Pleasure.
We've had it in the news here recently, reports of envelopes of ricin or poison being sent to various government officials here in America. Do you know who might be behind that? Is that part of the desperate push to stop this the ascension process?
Well, President Trump got some to the White House,
right.
And I think senators and didn't a governor as well, a state governor got one.
Right.
What I did look into it because I do follow your happenings very closely.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't see the pattern. Yes, I expect Trump to get it, and senators, but there was one person there, I won't say who it was, that was out of the pattern. There was one chap there who I didn't understand why he'd received it. Uh-huh. And so I couldn't be sure who was behind it. I believe the FBI have arrested a guy. But the question really is, what's behind him? Who's behind him and what was all about?
Yeah.
And I don't have any more information on it because this is a very primitive attempt to do something. So I'm not sure whether it's a deep state or whether it's just somebody who is just off his head.
We had, just after 9/11, this reminds me of what happened back on September 11th, 2001, Simon, in this country, right at within, I think, 24 hours of the 9/11 event, President Bush and Vice President Cheney already had what they called the U.S. Patriot Act, which was probably 5,000 pages long, ready to submit to Congress. And there was one man, Tom Daschle, in the Senate, I believe, who stood up against it and started asking questions, and he received an envelope of poison anthrax sent to his office. I think that was meant to silence him. But this recent attempt to poison some of President Trump and other government officials reminds me of that, what happened back then as well.
I think it was Judge Kavanaugh in his statements was saying that he was obviously, as a judge, he was called in to give some help.
Right.
And just after 9/11, he was saying it was very, very busy in the White House, and the Oval Office was really busy. He said there were probably five judges. And this is and I believe him. You know, my point is not to say this, but my point is I'm sure there were five judges, but there's no way five judges in the space of a few days could have brought out the Patriot Act. And the truth is that document had been written 6 months to a year prior to that. That document was already written. Now, I want to just bring on this point because it's for me, is very important.
Sure.
I posted on my website, simonparks.org, a short interview with Major General Stubblebine.
I was just going to ask you about that. I have it open in my computer. That was my next question. So you must be psychic. You're one step ahead of me, Simon. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know that I'm one step ahead of you. Probably we walk together down the sidewalk.
Right.
Major General Stubblebine, retired Major General. To my knowledge, he is the highest ranking member of the elite. Of course he's an elite, he's a major general, the highest ranking member of the elite to actually say that aeroplanes did not strike the towers, an aeroplane did not crash into the Pentagon. Now, why in the name of the good Lord isn't every newspaper in America publishing this and saying, here is a major general saying that the two towers were not brought down by an aeroplane. Right. He categorically says aeroplanes did not crash into the two towers, and he categorically says it was not an aeroplane that crashed into the Pentagon. Now, here is absolute proof. And what's happening is that these people now who have been silenced for so long are now coming out. It's not the first time Major General Stubblebine has said things like this, but he does it. It's an interview with a Japanese or a Chinese gentleman. You know, it should be all over the world.
Sure.
It should be the front pages. But the nasty, evil elite who still threaten, cajole, frighten, blackmail and control the machinery of government and the private sector are stopping this.
And who attack you, too.
What more do the American people need?
Right.
One of their greatest patriot chaps, a major general, is telling you guys in the U.S. that the Twin Towers were not brought down by an aeroplane. And that's a genuine video, and please watch it on my website. Thank you.
And that story is not on any of the front page news of any paper in the United States. I'd be surprised. I don't think it is. That's what my spirit friends tell me.
But this is the worry. Mm-hmm. This is the worry, Ted, that the system is still sewn up by the bad guys.
Right.
That the control system.
Right.
I mean, I keep hearing, we're nearly free, and it's not true yet.
Right.
If we were nearly free, we'd have a real free press. And in actual fact, in the interview that is posted on my website, simonparks.org, he actually says we don't have a free press.
Oh,
so this Major General actually says in the interview, we don't have a free press. What he says is free press costs money. And he's really talking about blackmail. He's saying how people are being blackmailed. It's a very important interview. It's only 5 minutes. Wow. Please find 5 minutes of your time. It's one of your great military leaders. He was the guy who, when he was in charge, his job was to detect enemy movements. His job was to look at intelligence. So he was up there in the White House with the Bush administration. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what more has to be done before ordinary people get the truth? And this is what's so frustrating, Ted.
Right. Well, that's why I started my radio program 5 years ago, Simon, because the truth wasn't getting out there, and people want the truth, and that's why so many people are listening to my show today, and it's growing. It's the fastest growing metaphysical spiritual radio program in the world, but it's because people want the truth. They're sick and tired of getting garbage. And this is a time of truth. I appreciate you so much for sharing that. I will try to play a little bit of that, of his interview, during the next hour or perhaps a week from today. And along those lines, we talked about the 50,000, 40,000 sealed indictments. Was it you who told me that a lot of the names of the people in those indictments will be household names? Because I saw also on your website, SimonParks.org, Simon, a story about Elon Musk and being, let me look it up here, about being him being, arrested or charged with pedophilia and...
He was charged with corruption.
Oh, okay.
Because he tried to swing the share price on Tesla. He made a statement that he'd done some deal with some sheikh in an oil country, some Saudi Arabian oil deal, which then proved to be not real. But what he's done is there were some children who were trapped underwater in a cave. And the guy who was the expert was organizing the rescue. And Elon Musk wrote to this guy and said, "I've got a little mini submarine. Would you like to use my submarine to rescue these children?" Mm-hmm. Now, the organizer said, "I think you're just doing this as a publicity stunt. I don't trust, as far as I can throw you. This is to Elon Musk. And I don't want your submarine." At which point, Elon Musk then accused this guy of being a pedophile. This guy then started a legal court action against Elon Musk. Now, that's the one to follow. And what I also said in my website was that Elon Musk, it looks to me like he's had a nervous breakdown a few weeks ago. The trouble is, Tesla cars, nobody else wants his job. He's the chief executive. He's the CEO. Nobody else wants to step into his shoes. So I can't see the man lasting much longer. I really can't.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting, Simon. Well, thanks for sharing that. You also had another post on your website, fascinating website at simonparks.org, about how artificial intelligence and the CERN collider were threats to this planet, that they could leave the planet in a smoldering mass. I'd love your follow up on that. That's on your website.
It's a bit like Major General Stubblebine. We had a really learned professor, a guy of science, who had just broken ranks. And just come out and said, "Look, one of the greatest threats facing the Earth is some of the reactions that could occur when CERN is activated. It could create one of these sort of super black holes, which could basically burn the Earth to a cinder." Now, you would laugh at this if it appeared in the Marvel magazine. But this is a regular scientist who's gone through a regular university and, established his credentials. And what we're seeing is we are seeing people breaking ranks and warning about the technology, which up till now, science has said is perfectly safe and perfectly okay. But we are getting warnings. I mean, you know, there have been other people in the past who have warned that the activities of CERN are not really fully understood, even by the scientists who operate them. And as a result of that, could have a very bad negative effect. Mm-hmm. So it's important, because this isn't some 16-year-old kid writing something attacking CERN or me writing. This is a scientist, a guy highly respected, who's coming out and saying, I think CERN is one of the greatest dangers to humanity.
Amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. Simon, we've got about 5 minutes left, and okay. I wanted to tell you that because I wanted you to feel free to talk about anything you like or expound on anything you've mentioned during this hour to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Oh, thank you, Ted. It's always very kind of you. I just go back to the politics, because that's interesting. I'm sure that most people just fall asleep when they were watching what was going on, but maybe not, because it's so exciting. But mm-hmm. I thought there was one interesting point that's not really been understood, and that is that and the media didn't understand it, and some people didn't understand it, and even commentators didn't understand it. When Judge Kavanaugh was being questioned, and when this other lady was being questioned, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. of the nature of what she was alleging, it was quite likely that the Senate wouldn't appoint Kavanaugh. Mm-hmm. Because there were people who could, you know, there was one Democrat, I think, who voted the other way, and one Republican who voted the other way.
Right.
But at that point, before the vote was taken, it wasn't clear. So what the media are saying is that this Republican senator broke ranks and decided that, you know, he would only vote for Kavanaugh if the FBI were brought in. And you know, that's the way it's been sold, as the Republican senator who cracked under pressure, et cetera, et cetera. That's all nonsense, mm-hmm. total nonsense. Oh. As the debate was going along, it was becoming obvious that the Republican senators needed a stick to sit on. They needed a prop. They needed something to lean on. So the machinery was brought in. Tell you what, we'll give the FBI 1 week to do due diligence, find out what's going on, and under the understanding of that, then the FBI, as report, will say one way or the other. So at this stage, we feel more confident in voting for Kavanaugh, because we're also saying we're authorizing the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
So it had nothing to do with one senator breaking ranks. This came right from Trump. This was all organized. Now, that's exciting in itself, but here's what's more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it on the records if you look on that day. One Democratic senator, it was a woman, said along the lines that, well, what's the point of bringing the FBI in? We won't know any more than we know now. Now, that's dynamite, because how dare she prejudge a police investigation? Sure. So basically, this Democratic senator was saying, well, there's no point in bringing the FBI in, because it won't mean, it won't change anything. Mm-hmm. How does she know that? How could she possibly know that the FBI couldn't find it, which tells me that there was something very nasty going on.
Sure.
The point is that they didn't want the FBI investigation, because it wouldn't give them what they wanted. They wanted to stop Kavanaugh there and then. So this is politics at its dirtiest.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to hang on in there, because October, November and December are the three most important months. And if Kavanaugh is in post, there's every chance that we will move humanity to the next stage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you for hearing me.
Oh, fun, wonderful. I just downloaded the audio of Major Stubblebine about no plane hit the Pentagon, and I'll play a clip of that during my next hour. But
great.
But anyway, Simon, you're welcome to stay on if you'd like. We have Zora from the Hollow Earth coming on next hour, along with Jared Rand doing a meditation for world peace. But I know it's late there in England. I don't want to keep you up real late. But
Ted, I love your show. It is late here. Remember, there's lots of hours difference between you guys and me here.
That's true.
I'm delighted always, because you have a fantastic audience.
Oh, thanks.
It's probably the most spiritual radio show on the planet. So I'll say goodnight to you, and God bless.
All right, Simon. Thanks so much for coming on. Please stay tuned, everyone, for our next hour.
Tani.